Well, good morning, everybody. We ready to go to work? Close enough? Thanks so much. Well, let's call the meeting to order, and for the purpose of the quorum, identify some of us. I'm Richard Ball, Commissioner at Ag and Markets, and I'm joined by Board Member Peter Aragena, Member Mike Kimmelman, Chairman of the New York State Gaming Commission, Mark Guerin's designee, Ron Okram. Ron's right here, Acting Director of the Division of Horse Racing and Paramutual Wagering at the Gaming Commission. And also we have with us Brian Berry. Thank you, Brian. Thank you for being here. So we have a quorum. Our first order of business is to designate a board member to be the presiding officer for today's meeting. Can I get a motion to do that?
Commissioner?
I'll second that.
Two good guys. Thank you so much. We have a motion and a second. All in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Opposed? Motion approved. Thank you so much. Just a couple of things here before we get into the agenda. In addition to our members that are here, we've got Connie Richardson here. Thank you, Connie. Brian, taking care of our finances. And Jackie Moody Sub, Deputy Commissioner at Ag and Markets, is also here. Betty's in attendance. And you, sir?
Bill Skellig.
That's how you say your last name. I wanted to get that right.
Yes.
All right. Thank you, Bill. Appreciate that. Next item is our minutes. We had a great meeting down in Orange County at Goshen at the museum. I got to drive a cart around the track. That was a good day. Anyway, we have the minutes. Have you had a chance to look at them? And if so, can we get a motion to approve them?
I'll make the motion.
We have Ron, Barry, thank you. Motion on second. All in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Unopposed? So carried. Next item is our contract with the Harness Horse Breeders. We approved a contract at the January 26th meeting, and if you remember at that time, we were presented with a one-year contract. And after talking about that, we decided to make it a six-month contract as we were in between executive directors. And here we are again. We still don't have an executive director, although we're still working on it. So the members at that time agreed to increase the contract for additional work with the harness breeders, but only for 6 months since we were in that situation. Given that we're still in that situation, we'd like to extend that contract today for that same amount, which would be $158,300 for the remainder of the year. We already have in place the sole source agreement in October that allowed for negotiation on this contract with HHB. So let me word this correctly. Does anyone have any comments before I go on with the motion? I assume, Betty, you're willing?
Yes.
Okay. Can I have a motion to extend the current contract with HHB for an additional 6 months at $158,300 at same terms agreed to for the past 6 months?
I'll make that motion.
I'll second it.
Okay. Thank you. Any other discussion?
The only thing I would add to that is that it was always very plug and play that Harness Horse Breeders were going to provide that service for this organization, and there was a period of time where I think the relationship between Harness Horse Breeders and the fund was well beyond harmonious and to the point where it was antagonistic, I think, from the Harness Horse Breeders to the fund. And I think that organization as a whole has done a lot to repair that relationship and to try to keep us, you know, have done a lot to improve our confidence that they're working with us. And I think a lot of that falls on Betty, especially without us having an executive director. I do think a lot, you know, obviously Ron and Betty do a lot of work together, but I think that there's certainly a very good relationship at this time between the two organizations, which is kind of nice to see, because I do know that when I sat on that other board, to say that our executive director that we had at one time there was antagonistic toward the fund would be an understatement. So I'd like to say thanks.
You're welcome.
Yeah, I'd also like to, I appreciate all the hard work Betty does put into her job. And whenever I need anything, somewhat as an acting executive director of the fund, I appreciate her hard work.
Thank you.
Thank you, Betty. Yeah. Well, thank you, sir. So we need a motion and a second. And we need
I'd like
to vote.
To abstain from the vote.
I second.
Duly noted. Very. All in favor, signify by saying aye.
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 Aye. And opposed? So carried. Thank you. Sire Stakes, we're right in the middle of it. Can you give us an update on that, Betty?
Sure. I have some numbers for you, but first I'd like to say that we are approximately halfway through the program this year. We, in spite of not having an executive director, everything has gone fairly well. Each year you always have a few little glitches, but nothing to really be concerned with, but the program is moving forward based on the numbers. In my discussions with Brian, everything seems to be on track financially, and hopefully we'll have some extra money for Breeders Awards. We've done some publicity. I printed out an article that was done in Saratoga's newspaper before the last races up there. And I would really like to try to work with some of the local newspapers and make like a March Madness thing leading up to the finals. I don't know if we can get that in place and make the connections this year, but that is a goal that I'd like to see, where all the tracks kind of have a lead in with point standings and local horses and things, which I think would help promote the program. So that being said, I just have a few things here. The Harness Horse Breeders' ability to work hand in hand with the Ag Fund has allowed the New York Sire Stakes program to flourish. The combined knowledge of the Harness Horse Breeders Board of Directors and staff with the trust and foresight of the fund to move the New York Sire Stakes program into new territories has allowed New York breds to excel and be the most sought after state breds in the world. The New York Sire Stakes numbers continue to hold steady and even show healthy increases. The following numbers are examples of that growth. This year, there, in the April payments, there were 2,821 payments made in April for horses to compete at all levels, compared to 2,662 in 2014, which is an increase of 159 payments. These multiple payments allow owners the flexibility to move their horses up and down in all levels to find the best fit for the horse's ability and to earn money. And I also did a comparison of numbers from when we started the Excelsior program and to where we are today with the B series. And in 2012, there were a total of 960 horses racing in the entire program. 144 of those did not earn money, which means there were also no breeders' awards given to those breeders of those horses. In 2014, we had 1,092 horses racing in the program, which was an increase of 132 horses participating in the program. Of those, only 72 of the total amount did not make money. So we've gotten more horses to the track making money for the owners and the breeders. There were 935 yearlings nominated this year, which is 144 horses increased over last year. So the number of mares bred in 2014 showed an increase of 247 mares compared to 2013. We won't have a total number yet until September for this year, but I would anticipate at this point that the number will hold fairly steady, if not increase. To retain owners, we need to provide them with opportunities to earn money. The Harness Horse Breeders recommended changes to the Excelsior program spearheaded by Peter Aragena, along with the fund trustees' willingness to try something different, has been a big factor in providing these racing options in the increased numbers. The Harness Horse Breeders Board of Directors are currently looking at ways to encourage ownership and support our current owner levels. These recommendations will be provided in the near future.
Thank you, Betty.
If I can add, she gave all the numbers. From a financial standpoint, we received about $1.4 million in horsemen
payments this year. So that was a pretty good number. And as for the Sauer Estates purses, yeah, we're about halfway through. I've transferred out about $6.2 million to date. We're right in the middle, I would say. So, but we're right on track. We haven't had any problems. Everyone's been happy, and things have been running as it should. So.
Okay. I have two things. One, I don't know if you know the number, but with the increase, 2014 was the first year we were breeding with the full residency package, is that right?
Yes.
And would you say along with the increase in the mares bred on that list, the residency numbers, if nothing else, if they weren't more, it must at least appear that they're more because people probably are filing their paperwork. But would you say that that number went up as well?
Yes, the number of horses as residents in New York State has increased as well now that we're going to 100% residency, starting with the foals that were dropped this year.
And that's the goal of doing
yes.
it.
Yes, so we have more horses in the state generating more income for the boarding farms. That is correct.
And then the only real negative thing I've heard on the sire stakes this summer, other than the usual chatter, and you know, Pete kind of told me we really have to work on this next year. Maybe prior to the program, we've tried to educate our trainers and our owners, but we continue to have to work harder, I think, to educate our race offices. And, the little mess they had there at Monticello is a good example of that. I know the people there are very capable, but somehow we missed a couple blocks between Goshen, where they have, you know, less than a professional staff, or at least not a group that's used to working together. And between those two things, you know, I think we need to do better making sure they're clear on our rules because it reflects on us. Similarly, I really think that since getting those draws together in some ways are a lot easier than begging for horses for 2 hours, when they get their races set up, I really would love to have a process in place where they send them to you so you can look through them before they draw the races would save a lot of heartache, you know, in the future. Because it's one thing to tell somebody that they're overnight and they're not going to race this week because you made a mistake. It's another thing to have a paid-in event and the race office and the judges both making a mistake and calling again and say, you know what, your horse is in a race. It doesn't belong in it. Sorry about your luck. And I think that does look bad to us. And like Pete says, if we get, you know, I don't care if we have to get them all together before the sire stakes start, on a conference call or whatever else, make sure they're all clear. But as long as you're all right with it, I think it would be a benefit to everybody for you to look at the draws before they pull the post positions.
Just to add on to that, it is in HHB's contract to monitor the draw, so that she does that anyhow. But I talked with Tommy Auguste, race secretary at Buffalo. He told me that you guys, the harness horse breeders, we can get what they call e-track and get it for every track, for all the 7 tracks.
Okay.
And that will, as they're putting the draw together, she can be right there watching it. So as soon as all the bees are in, let's say, she'll be able to look down and say, yeah, that one's eligible, that one's eligible, that one's eligible. She won't even have to contact. It'll be right on the, she'll be able to follow
and
up.
And
right,
it's an advantage that Betty has over them, whereas they're worried about a lot of different things.
Right.
You know our rules. Yeah. And you know the horses, to be honest, too. So, you know, they're, it's not going to happen often, but
It happens,
and it's sure a lot better to take care of it before they start pulling pills.
Yep.
So, I you know, just we can tighten that up. That would be great.
Check with the USTA on that and find out what it's going to cost or whatever.
One of the issues is we do ask the tracks to send us the information ahead of time. Some do, some don't. We ask for judges' sheets, some send them, some forget. You know, so it's, some of it is, I don't know, their willingness. Some of them feel comfortable doing it. We've only really had a problem this year. We had a problem early on with Saratoga. We had one problem, but Monticello, the last 2 years, we've had issues with. Again, if they don't send me the information, it's hard for us to review them. We've tried calling and listening in. We'll be on the phone for 2-3 hours, and even then, they lay down the phone. They put you on speakerphone, and then they walk away, and you can't always hear. So
but we're just
that
gonna,
is an area that we need to
We're going to tell them that we're held accountable. So we're not gonna, and it's the money from the fund.
Right.
So we're not gonna ask them.
They're gonna
do it.
Okay.
You know, I don't see that being anywhere near unfair. But when they make a mistake, if it reflects upon us, and you know, from anybody involved, I heard, oh well, you know, that's just the racetrack guy making a mistake. The fund shouldn't be accountable for this. Well, if we're involved in it, we should do our best to make it done right.
Okay.
So they should send it to us.
And that E-Track, they won't have to send you nothing. You'll be able to sit there and watch them, monitor them the whole morning.
All right.
And with the online entries, I think almost everybody's using online entries today. So the day before, 2 days before, when everybody puts it in, you'll be able to sit there and monitor all of that.
Okay. So that would be great.
I think, you know, I didn't know about this till just last week, so.
Okay.
Check into it and then we can go from there with it. But I think that would be the best way to go with it.
Okay.
And you don't have to bother them. I mean, you're going to sit there on your computer and watch what they're doing down there.
The only ones that are a real issue are the bees.
Right.
Which normally there's not that as many. There's only two or three races, so
right.
That's going to be easy.
Right.
Okay.
Exactly.
That sounds great.
So you guys are going to look into fixing
yep.
that challenge
yep.
and maybe report back to us at our next meeting, next mm-hmm. agenda. Let's put that on our agenda for the next meeting.
The only thing I would say is if you thought it was the thing at Goshen with the points and no points or else, if you think it's cleaner there, it's not cost effective, but if you wanted to run them all the same event with no A's and B's at Goshen, we could do that too, or not. We could talk about that
later.
Well,
it's easier just to keep it the same, because those are the, you know, then we have to have different rules.
I understand,
you know?
But then we have to make sure people know when they were told, for whatever reason, some of these people, it was pretty clear in the condition sheet,
yeah.
if you look at it, that there was different races for A's and B's.
Right.
But they were told, because there were no points by some of the people there that were part-time personnel in that office, that, hey, you know what, it's a free pass. And I go as far as say Ken Jacobs, who should know the rules,
mm-hmm.
told, you know, the people he was involved with that, you know, there's the rules for A's and B's at Goshen don't hold up. You can do whatever you want. So there was at least enough left. We had a director of the Harness Horse Breeders that didn't know the rules. So
well, that's... I have that a lot with Kenny. He always calls me. And
well, everybody likes the rules to be what
yeah,
you want them to be,
yeah,
but
exactly.
there's really one set of rules.
But I mean, it's real simple. I mean, I've had so many phone calls that my wife knows the rules.
Right.
So
we'll just
my wife
we'll
knows.
To
listen to me on the phone
year.
All the time talking to people,
right.
and I think everybody else can learn the rules.
Well, let's follow up with that on
yeah.
our next meeting. But it sounds like Easy Track is.
I don't know the change in the conditions. I mean, the conditions right now are pretty clear.
Yeah.
But when people seem that they change from track to track is silly. Some of it was misunderstandings on a number of different people's parts, and if they don't call and ask, then they make the mistake. But I think the conditions are clear. It's just a matter that we just need to keep reminding people and reminding the race secretary. But we'll report back after we try out this E-Track.
Thank you. Okay. Thanks, Betty. Any other questions for Betty? Any other observations, Peter?
You know, the thing is, if we still got another couple months left, so I mean, maybe if you can, you know, Monday or what's today, Thursday, you can even call the USTA, see what it takes to set that up, and get it started, and you can start using it and see how it works.
See how it goes, try it out.
No, I'll call today. I'm
yep.
going
okay.
to try it.
Especially with all the different finals coming up, too. That's when everybody
yeah.
gets their
yeah.
hair up on the back of their neck.
All right. Thanks very much, Betty.
You're welcome.
Our next item is the consideration of adopting and amending some fund policies, specifically time and attendance and travel. And we spent a fair amount of time on this at our last meeting. Given the Gaming Inspector General and the Gaming Commission's Office of Internal Audits both reviewed the fund's operations, which we discussed in Goshen, it is apparent that the fund needs to amend its current time and attendance policy and adopt a travel policy. Both audits discussed the need to address the absence of a travel policy at the fund, and it was recommended that the fund adopt a travel policy to avoid some of the problems that were recently experienced. The new policy will also include a requirement for a travel voucher, which would need to be filed and approved before any travel went on fund business. The proposed policy is one used by a lot of our state agencies in New York, including our own Gaming Commission. Before we take a vote on that, I would like to discuss the need to amend also the time and attendance policy which was also recommended by the Inspector General and the Office of Internal Audits. Staff conducted a review of the current policy and recommends that the current policy be amended to ensure an audit of each employee's timesheet on a quarterly basis, as well as provide that any out-of-state travel or any travel adhere to the policy guidelines that we just talked about. In addition, the amended time and attendance policy includes language to reflect that there are no alternate workstation agreements when not in travel status. I'm going to make it very clear that where work happens and where it does not happen. Did I recreate that discussion that we had correctly?
Yes.
Can I get a motion to adopt a travel policy that would include a requirement for vouchers when traveling on behalf of the fund?
I'll make that motion.
And a second?
I'll second that.
Any other discussion? All in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye. Aye.
And opposed? So carried. Can I also have a motion to amend the current time and attendance policy to include one that would require each employee's timesheet is reviewed and audited on a quarterly basis, and secondly, would require any out-of-office travel must adhere to the travel policy guidelines we just passed, including a travel voucher filing when traveling on fund business, and number three, that there are no alternate workstation agreements when not in travel status. Can I get that motion?
I'll make the motion.
Ron?
A second.
And Peter second. Any other discussion? All in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
And opposed? So carried. Next item of business is drug testing contract. Some members have discussed the need for additional drug testing for both county fairs and sire stakes racing programs. And currently we have a contract with the New York Drug Testing and Research Program to conduct testing for non-paramutual racing, specifically the county fairs. I know Peter would like to see some more testing. The staff has discussed the process with the New York Drug Testing and Research Program, which could do specific testing on additional samples collected beyond what the Gaming Commission samples. In October of last year, we discussed such testing, and Brian, I believe we set aside $100,000 in our budget for 2015.
Correct.
For off-track horse testing. We've discussed this testing with Dr. George Malin, director of the New York Drug Testing and Research Program at Morrisville. He's proposed a specific testing program for the fund at $25,000. This testing will include a research component that specifically looks at new items that may be being used and determine the protocols for such testing to help determine their presence. Peter, I know you have thoughts on this.
Yes, Ron and I have, we had a little meeting in here one day with Dr. Malin, and we want to start getting a out-of-competition testing and some research going. And there's a lot of drugs coming in and out, and you know, there's machines that they have that, you know, need to be used, and they just need funding for it. And I think you're seeing this quite a bit around the other states is uses of like call malt and stuff. It needs to be tested further than just the post-race testing. So it's kind of like the update of the TCO2s that we started back in the day. So I think this will work out well. We got to work with the Gaming Commission on getting their contract Dr. Malin, because he needs that contract in place before he can go ahead and work with us too. So we're trying to get this all together so we can start immediately. Okay. And because our program's running out, and September will be here before we know it. So we got the month of August and September to get started on this, so if we can move things along.
I know it's important to all of us. Brian, we have the money.
Yep.
Ron, are you comfortable that this is the right amount of money to do what we need to do?
Well, for the initial stage, I mean, as Peter mentioned, the Gaming Commission is working right now to finalize its contract with the drug lab. So
okay.
That's a kind of an offshoot of what we're doing.
Yeah, he's got to get that before he'll kind of work with us now. So.
But we're confident that'll be done shortly.
So, and, you know, we started out with 25, but we have 100. So, you know, as
okay.
We work through and see how well it's doing, we can...
We'll go from there.
Utilize the rest of the money.
Okay. Looks like an agenda item for our next meeting as well to follow through, see how that went. Thank you. We do need to adopt a sole source resolution for that contract. Allow me to read this, if you would. Pursuant to Section 330 of the Racing, Paramutual, Wagering, and Breeding Law of the State of New York, the Agriculture and New York State Horse Breeding Development Fund is created in order that it may promote the breeding of horses and the conduct of equine research in this state on its own responsibility and under its own business management. The policy, good faith, and interest of the state are concerned with the management and development of the fund and are committed to promotion of horse breeding and equine research in the state in active cooperation with the fund. Therefore, in carrying out this statutory mandate, the Board of Trustees of the Fund has historically recognized and continues to recognize that the New York Drug Testing and Research Program at Morrisville State College is a single source vendor with respect to the effective and efficient drug testing of the standard bred breeding and racing industries as contemplating in this law. In this regard, the Fund's Board of Trustees recognizes that the mission of the drug lab is to ensure the integrity of racing in New York State, and the drug lab provides statewide services that will allow for consistency and uniformity in testing of registered standard breds throughout the state. For these reasons, the drug lab is uniquely positioned to carry out on a cost-effective basis the measurable objectives of the fund by providing expert drug testing services for the fund throughout the state of New York. Can I have a motion to accept the sole source resolution that will allow us to approve this contract? Got a motion and a second. We have a tie for a second. Any other discussion? All in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
And opposed? So carried. Can I now have a motion that would allow the fund staff to enter into a contract not to exceed $25,000 with the New York Drug Testing and Research?
I make that motion.
Program. Peter?
I'll second that.
Close second. Any other discussion? All in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
And opposed? So carried. Thank you very much. That's a good step. Our next item is field inspector investigator position. We're on a roll here with investigations. Having approved the last item, we believe there is a need for a field inspector slash investigator. On the thoroughbred side, our counterparts, that fund does have inspectors employed, and we're looking to secure the services of such a person who could visit the farms, the tracks, and work with the drug testing lab. As we do not currently have any staff to perform such field work and the lab's work is confidential, there's a need to hire an individual who could conduct inspections and investigate any findings provided by the lab and report back to us here at the fund. Such individual will be hired on a per diem basis, and she would receive expenses. We believe this position would not exceed $20,000 over the course of the contract, which would be termed December 31st of this year. And it seems to go hand in hand with our approval of the drug lab. This individual would also provide recommendations and a final report at the end of the year on both fund policies and drug testing. The position would require that the individual have a background in horse racing and conducting investigations. I expect a little bit of a discussion here.
Well, my first question would be, what is the end of our year? Are we talking about the end of our racing season, or the end of our calendar year, or the end of our... Are we going to get someone that's going to work for us for $20,000 from now till the end of June, $20,000 from now to the end of the Sire Stakes, or $20,000 from now to the end of December?
It's the way it's framed here is to the end
December
of the calendar
31st year. Of 2015.
Okay. And I think that related to both subjects, and it a little bit depends on what our goal is. I think our goal is a little bit mixed. Obviously, we'd like to have some integrity. We'd like people not to do bad things. We'd like to have a level playing field. Some of that is utopian. On the investigator side of things, if we hire this person, do we have to tell anybody we hired this person? Or are we looking to be a little stealthy with this person?
Well, I mean, there's a contract, so we'll
I mean, it would be public knowledge as much as somebody looked for it, right?
Yes.
But we don't have to put up a flag saying, hey, we got somebody watching you.
No, because the contract would be approved here that's allowing staff to enter into the contract.
I'm not saying that that's a good or bad thing. I'm just asking, I think for our image, and when other states, when they've put money forth to do added testing, they have made that more than public knowledge, but almost made an announcement out of that, because it does put a good face on the whole program. The question is whether we want to do that too, or whether we want to remain a little more under the radar. What do you think?
Well, I mean, I think we should remain under the radar, whoever we hire. I mean, if you're going to do investigations.
But on both parts. I don't want to tell somebody who are investigators, for
right.
sure.
Yeah, but on the other thing is, we've already put that announcement out that we do have out of competition tested in the Sire Stakes. That's been public knowledge as of the spring. And
we just haven't taken action on it.
We just haven't taken action on it yet. So, I mean, it's out there. It's just that, you know, I mean, if you want to send somebody. But the other part of this person that we hire is because we don't have an executive director and everything that's all involved, we need to have somebody, because Ron can't do it. He doesn't have the time to do it. Is somebody's got to kind of coordinate between the lab, between gaming, whether it's going to be with the investigators down there. We need someone to oversee our end of it, to where they're going to, you know, pull blood, who's pulling blood, when to do it, you know, see the results to make sure everything is, somebody's got to watch over this.
Right. And yeah, that chain of custody of such a thing.
Exactly. So, I mean, that's basically the object of this person to do investigations and handling all this.
I do think we're talking about the remainder of this year for this particular deal. So I think, you know, in the future, I think it may be an opportunity for a public announcement. But at this point, I think we're talking about getting a program going and
I think,
and seeing how it works.
Peter said the contract with the drug lab is contingent upon the Gaming Commission's contract.
Right.
And this is limited to $20,000. And it's on a per diem basis to the end of the year. I mean, so it may
that's more of a cap than a target.
Yeah, so I think it's an initial step that, you know, people can review the results at the end of the year. Did it work? Was it successful? Did we go and do some good things? Did we do things we shouldn't have done?
Right.
So forth. Exactly. The members can evaluate it then.
So it's not a race to spend the $20,000.
No,
it's
of course
a limit
not.
I mean, if we only hire them, like say we say we want you to go out tomorrow, or that, we might only have them 5 days.
Yeah. I think as the commissioners. As the commissioner said, you know, field work. You know, the Gaming Commission provides service employees, but the field work, to have someone go out for the day, that's kind of a difficult thing for us.
It's an important thing to do. I just want to make sure that we're doing as right as we can. So,
but that's what this whole thing is, to help tie it together, and then he can, you know, come back to us as the trustees and saying, here's some problems, here's this, and we can work on it. Mm-hmm. I mean, I know we only have a couple of months left in the program, but this will kind of get us to see where we're at. Then we can make a decision
for next year.
Do we want to do
this worthwhile? Do we need more of this, less of this?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Where are we at, you know?
I would expect that we're piling up a pretty good agenda for our next meeting, but I would expect a report from this individual at our next meeting.
And we did check. We do have adequate funds, whether it's from the 100 or from where we are running about 187,000 ahead right now for the year.
You feel good about it, Brian?
Yeah, I think we're good. Expenses have been, pretty good.
Okay.
Under control pretty well, so I think we'll have a little bit to play with there.
Can I get a motion to allow staff to secure the services of such an individual? Not to exceed $20,000. Mike? I can count on you guys. any further discussion? All in favor signify by saying aye.
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 And opposed? So carried. Do we have any new or old business?
So I just mentioned that the Night of Champions, there'll be two cocktail parties. So if your schedule doesn't fit into one, the other opportunity is there, which are September 12th and September 26th.
Where at?
Yonkers for both of those.
Cocktail party.
And the two-year-old finals are the 26th, and the three-year-olds are the 12th. And we also have the USTA and the New York Sire Stakes Awards Dinner on November 15th, and that will be in Batavia.
November 15th in Batavia. Can you just verify those dates after we get done here, and I'll get them on to Lori and see if we can't fit them in the calendar. Thanks very much.
Other dates I think we got to pay a little attention to this year, at least certainly some of us and definitely you, we have a new horse sales year. So I think that we really have to pay attention to both of them. I mean, Morrisville's very important to us, but I think we need to make sure we know what's going on at the other one too, which will be right after the Night of Champions.
Ron has already requested that I attend both.
Yeah, I think we kind of need to do that, so.
We'll also, even though it's not in the contract because the sale wasn't created, but we will do a report to the fund on the sale as well, on averages, numbers.
Okay. Maybe even at the end, the combined number, because we're certainly diluting, we've diluted, if not almost half abandoned the other sale, which is not a great thing. But we should at least be able to combine something to see what that looks like in relation to what we used to get out of just the one sale, because it's going to be pretty dismal, the results from Morrisville compared to where they were before, when you're selling 60 something horses versus 200.
Well, normally we do a report. Our contract requires us to do a report after Morrisville, Lexington, and Harrisburg. So I can do all four sales, and then in the annual report, I combine to do one total report for all four, and that's in the annual report for the fund. You want something different?
No, I just think that when we review the sale at Mark Ford's and the sale at Morrisville, somewhere therein should reflect that the numbers at Morrisville, which will be hugely down because there's so many less horses, we're going to have to look at that almost together apart at the same time, I think.
Okay, I got it.
Does anybody know how many Morrisville and what's the name of the
other sale they call the Goshen Yearling Sale, right? Chris Tully's running it.
Okay.
They have, a lot of horses there that would have normally gone to Morrisville.
I think there's 127
or so horses.
Oh.
And
how many's Morrisville got?
I believe they have like 62 or 67.
Which basically between the two sales were up, because we usually only had about 120, 115 lately at Morrisville. So that actually
pulled
brings
some out of Harrisburg, I think.
Yeah.
We'll see how that looks.
Okay.
The only other thing I would mention is that, different subject here, but we have been meeting regularly to review our finances and the checkbook, et cetera, with our folks at Ag and Markets and
we've been having
your folks. So
meeting.
One of those recommendations from the IG. So that's been happening. That's old business.
Yep, they've been
going pretty well.
They've been going well. We've had two representatives at every meeting. And we've had one in May and June. We won't have one in July because of this meeting, but we'll have the next one in August.
Okay, awesome. We've made reference to our next meeting. At this point, we have not set a date, but I would expect it that would be sometime in the fall. We may not have the full results from, for example, our investigator by then, but I think we're getting back on track, meeting regularly, and having a little easier agenda, therefore, every time when we do get together, and I think we benefit when we're together.
Does it work to have a meeting after the Harrisburg sale and before Thanksgiving? Does that work?
Well, we definitely got to have one either middle of December or January, that we got to do the conditions and the scheduling.
And the budget.
And the budget. So last year worked out not bad, early January or middle January for that.
Well, you really should have one before January for the budget.
So, exactly.
We can actually have two.
We could have two. We could have a lighter meeting in end of November, early December, somewhere November, December, and then the January meeting is going to be far more important. And at that time, that'll have the heavier agenda, I think. We'll just stay in touch on email about that.
Yes, sir.
I would just say, boy, there's a lot going on. We're halfway through the Sire Stakes, and we've got county fairs happening all over the place. This is a great opportunity. And I have to put a plug in for the Great New York State Fair. Obviously, that's happening pretty soon here, end of August, and I'll be there. I hope to see some of you guys there. As you know, we actually have a pretty exciting program. The governor has given us some funding to help transform the fair. Equine is going to be a big portion of that transformation at the fair. So we'll have a lot to talk about. Everything is on the table at this point when it comes to that. We're still getting evaluating the public input that we've gotten and working with the consultants on a regular basis about how we do that. But I think it's going to be a particularly great opportunity for Equine. We've made a pretty big effort at the Department of Ag and Markets to keep agriculture the central focus part of that fair. So we had the biggest fair we've ever had last year, and attendance records were broken, and I think very positive feedback all the way around. So we're looking to capitalize on that and do more. So with that, let me ask for a motion to adjourn.
I need a motion.
And a second?
Yes, sir.
Okay, all in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye. Aye.
Thank you so much. Appreciate the effort that you all put into this, and I think things work better when we work together. So, Peter, you abstained on that vote.
Yes, because I'm director of the Harness Horse Breeders.
Okay, all right.
I can't do that. Actually, okay. When we did our ethics link, they said even when you talk about it, I should leave the room.
Okay.
That necessary.
All right, I just wanted to make sure there wasn't...
What I'm not supposed to do is I'm not supposed to, like, give my thoughts to Mike so it makes Mike think, so, yeah. So, which we didn't do. But I just, I can't vote on it.
Okay. See you, Commissioner.
All right. Ryan, thank you so much.
Okay.
Good to see you. And you're walking
yeah,
on your own here, Mike?
What's that?
So you're walking on your own, unassisted?
Yeah, more or less.
You got to watch out for iron horses.
Yeah.
They're the ones that fall over and hurt you.
You know, it's not impossible, but someday we might be able to bring Hamiltonian back to New York, too, which would be pretty cool.
I got it.
Wow.
Depending on what happens in Jersey, I don't know if they're always going to have the money to keep that contract there. So that would be something that we might talk
that
about.
That would be a public press event right there.
That would be pretty cool, right?
We did our part.
That would be awesome. That would be awesome.
There's been a little whispering about it, so we'll see.
Is that right?
These have to get turned off?
20 degrees.